Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Amen. Please be seated. Those of you who know me know that I like to ramble, so I'm going to stick to my script a little bit, and then we have a chance to get down to that lovely meal downstairs. On this seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after Ascension, we've been invited by the National Church to celebrate Jerusalem, to reflect upon the importance of that great city and region, noting especially the living stones, the people of faith who are active in that region. Complementing that theme, or perhaps complicating it, I've been asked to tie into this reflection my recent military experiences in West Africa as chaplain to the first of two Canadian Armed Forces Air Task Forces, providing helicopter-borne forward aeromedical evacuation services, think of MASH, to the United Nations Multidimensional Integrated Stabilization Mission in Mali, or MINUSMA. Now, my experience of Jerusalem is quite dated now. It's been 20 years since I've been there with my work in the Army. We landed near the city of Tel Aviv on the coast, and after a day of visiting industry, we drove north to visit another high-tech firm near Haifa. Afterwards, we swung south along the Jordan River, stopping to swim one evening in the Dead Sea. We stayed at Jerusalem for a day or so, and then proceeded south to Beersheba, taking some time to walk in the sands of the Negev Desert. So all the cool names from the Bible, eh? It was exciting times. Jerusalem was an amazing place, at once seemingly small and familiar, but the next, very complex, ancient, and powerful. The city was hot and bustling. We walked through open courtyards, under low archways, and up narrow little streets with ancient hollowed-out steps. One of these streets was called the Via Dolorosa. We went in and out of the famous gates and visited open-air markets where people hawked souvenirs and butchered animal carcasses hung dripping with flies buzzing all around. There was business going on everywhere, in the streets, in the markets, and in the offices. And there was a sense of seriousness in people's faces, earnestness, if not outright tension. One time we were driving along and a young soldier slinging an assault rifle at the side of the road signaled for us to pull over, pointing to where he wanted us to stop our car. At least that's what it looked like. In fact, in Israel, it's rude to stick your thumb up for various reasons, so people tend to point. This is a young man was simply hitching a ride to the nearest base for his weekend training. You get the sense of military people hitchhiking with assault rifles. It's a little bit different than we have in Pembroke. There were lots of very intelligent young people in the city that I noticed, some in uniform, many not, most carrying weapons, but all very confident and relaxed. This was a place like Toronto. I'm not from Toronto, but like Toronto, where one could see a mix of people of different origins, different cultures and religions, but living in harmony and peace. That's my image of Jerusalem from 20 years ago. Where I was in Central Mali is a long way from Jerusalem, over 6,000 kilometers away, in fact, but it has many similarities with the Jerusalem that I knew and the land around it. Mali has a very hot, dry climate. There are large regions of sandy desert, and yes, I did get to Timbuktu, and other areas with rugged mountains. It has experienced many centuries, even millennia, of ethnic differentiation, rich cultural expression, diverse trade practices, and advanced education. Unfortunately, Mali also shares with Jerusalem periods of political tension and instability, weakness in legislative and judicial functions, insecurity with respect to terrorism and criminal elements, economic stratification, and ethnic and religious friction. Such instability across the broad spectrum of life and society means that over there, everything that we might take for granted can be very uncertain, inefficient, and unreliable. For example, the quality and availability of good government, security and policing, industry, labor, employment, food, water, electricity, petrochemical and other fuels, road systems, septic systems, and other essential services. If we here in the West flick a light switch, we can be reasonably assured that a light will come on. In places experiencing periods of instability, such as Mali and at times Jerusalem, that chain of essential services is frequently deficient and is often broken down completely. For example, one day in the airfield, one of the airfields that we use, which was in fact a presidential airfield, tall, powerful streetlights around the perimeter failed one day to work. When the engineers checked to see why, they discovered that someone had dug up and stolen all the copper wires connecting them to the power. Brave fellow. At one point during our mission, the apartment building of a UN contingent in Gao, the city of Gao, was struck by a terrorist driving an improvised truck bomb. Three members of our UN team were killed by the blast when the rear wall of their two-story building collapsed. As the others lay unconscious in their beds, local villagers robbed them of all their remaining possessions. Where people live in abject poverty without political or economic stability, without physical security, and without fundamental services, they have a tendency to operate in a survival mode. The instinct for personal survival overrides that of consideration for others. One of the reasons the UN is in Mali is to help build that stability, to help reestablish a strong government and public service functions throughout the land, to help overcome racial and ethnic tensions, and to foster a healthy economy. And Canada does contribute millions of dollars every year to the development of Mali. Currently, we're building a moat around the city of Gao for some reason, as a security precaution. When we can help build peace and stability in the lives of others, this can foster new growth. The same holds true for Jerusalem and its region. If we can help those who are building new services and fostering cooperation between ethnic groups in that city and in that region, whether they be Christian or Muslim or Jewish or whatever, then we will be helping to foster peace and life and growth. At the root of the word Jerusalem is peace, as in awe of peace or teaching peace. Jerusalem contains the word Yarah, which means to cast or to throw, coupled with the word Shalem, which means to be whole, or to make whole, or to make complete. As an important center of the three mainline faith groups, with several subgroups or denominations in each, Jerusalem is indeed a place of completeness. However, the forces of evil often intervene to disrupt this delicate balance of peace. In many New Testament parables, too, the characters at the center of the stories are not at peace, not complete or whole. Through faith in God's power, though, the spirit of love, we see how many miracles are carried out that reveal God's power to make things whole again. In the Acts reading, for example, today, we see an unfortunate young woman who's possessed by an evil spirit, and her owners use her unholy skills of divination for profit. Similar to other situations in the New Testament where an evil spirit recognizes Jesus, this woman's evil spirit recognizes Paul, Silas, and Timothy as disciples, and she calls them out publicly. Unable to further tolerate her interference, I think Paul got a bit impatient there, Paul orders in the name of Jesus Christ that the evil spirit come out of her. As a result, she loses her skill of divination, and her owners bring the disciples up before a magistrate on trumped-up charges. They are brutally punished and land in jail, but continue to praise God to the delight of the other prisoners. Then an earthquake breaks open their cells as a manifestation of God's presence. In despair, the jailer tries to kill himself, but Paul stays his hand, for the prisoners were still present. The jailer asks how he might be saved, and he learns that it is through faith in Jesus. So he and his family are baptized into the faith. In these two episodes, tightly tied together, a woman possessed by evil is cleansed, and her life is reestablished, and a man in despair is rescued from death, and his soul saved through faith in Christ. So stability and peace return to these people's lives, and they can live in hope with possibility. During my short time overseas, I supported our 250-member force of aviators. I advised our chain of command, the boss, and so on, And I collaborated with three foreign chaplains in support of our little fortified camp of several thousand troops. With fellow chaplains from Germany, Netherlands, France, and Belgium, we were part of a UN mission made up of 13,300 troops from 55 different nations around the world, spread throughout the very large country, and I've brought a map with me I can set out later on, especially in the center and north of Mali, which was invaded by terrorists some 5 to 6 years ago and ousted by a French anti-terrorist force. The UN has established many peacekeeping camps and outposts. These are places with powerful security implications for the locals and are a clear deterrent to militants. Plus, they provide some not insignificant local economic benefit. Huge convoys of trucks range incessantly throughout the countryside to provision those forces, except in rainy season due to the roads falling apart. The main threat in our period there was landmines, and these have a devastating effect not only on those people who are unfortunate to drive over them, but for their colleagues as well. With medical facilities and specialized hospitals being so far away from where the landmines are placed and the terrorists attack, many UN troops and civilian suppliers were at an increased risk. So the specific role of our task force was to provide forward aeromedical evacuation with emergency surgical teams right on board the helicopters. Those big helicopters you see flying overhead, imagine a dozen people back there operating room. On board, capable of carrying out life-saving procedures in the air on the way south to the hospitals. We did this on several occasions. One of the unexpected benefits of our little force of helicopters that also did utility functions and resupply was that the UN could plan and execute long-distance security operations into remote areas that had not seen security forces for some time. The fact that we could pre-position our helicopters within an hour of potential attack sites meant that the UN could exercise greater operational mobility, take more calculated risks, and provide greater tactical effects for the benefit of Mali. Our mission was a peaceful one, and our mandate was very carefully enunciated as defensive, but it's clear to me that our very presence and our Canadian willingness to reach out at a moment's notice to rescue those wounded in the field and deter those wishing to harm them further, increase the peace and stability of the country in a meaningful way, if only for a short time. I recently telephoned my commander in Mali, who had also commanded the Chinook helicopter squadron in Petawawa, where I was chaplain. He's a brilliant aviation commander and one of the best leaders I've ever met. I asked him about our mission and the effectiveness of MINUSMA, asking him how we had contributed to peace in that part of the world. The colonel said, irrespective of its flaws, the UN as an organization is indispensable in the world because there is no other alternative. And it's true. For military, the UN has the largest membership and broadest mandate in the world. And MINUSMA is making a real contribution to stability and peace in Mali, enabling the establishment of good government and security while disarming warring factions and collaborating with others to keep terrorists and criminals at bay. The UN contributes to peace and stability throughout much of the world, and in that they renew hope for life. But as believers, we know that there is indeed an alternative to building peace in the world, and that is the way of Jesus Christ. In Jerusalem, in Mali, in our own backyards, we need to call out those forces of evil that stifle the lives of others. We need to support those who battle such evil on a daily basis, and we need to encourage those living stones in the remote hospitals, missions, and schoolhouses to keep going. For Jesus is coming soon with his reward for the faithful, and he will reward all according to their work. Let us pray. Loving God, in all that we do, whether contributing to peace in the world as part of a military force, or making a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, supporting the living stones in Jerusalem and the region, or working with others in the daily routine of life, may we always turn first and foremost to you, our Creator, expressing and sharing with others the love of God, which is the most powerful energy of all, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.